Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hillman. Good evening, everyone. This is Jennifer Hillman, and yes, I'm live tonight. Thank you so much for listening tonight on air. Again, we have Tom Jacobs. He is an evolutionary astrologer, medium channel, with a very active private practice. He has people around the world that he is helping around with the astrology. And these days, as you've noticed, astrology is becoming more and more important, at least in my view. He has worked with one of the foremost experts, which is Stephen Forrest. Tom, how are you doing? You're a busy kid. You've got all kinds of books out now.
Yeah, I'm a busy kid. I know. I'm wrapping up editing on number four, and number three is just kind of I'm making last minute design changes to the cover. So, yeah, it's pretty busy.
Awesome. You also teach karmic astrology and intuitive skill development privately and then in groups, and you have a new class coming up locally in Tucson, correct?
Yeah, starting Tuesday. It's an 11-week course. I call the course Seeing Through Spiritual Eyes, and it's an intuitive skills development course where we learn about the chakras, we learn how to clean up our emotional history, and learn to live, you know, seeing through our spiritual eyes, seeing ourselves and seeing the world from that perspective that our spirit sees and that our spirit guides see us. And so it's a really fantastic course. It starts Tuesday in Tucson.
Okay, and are you going to be doing that on like a teleseminar kind of deal, teleconference anytime soon? Because I think you'd be a big hit.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've had suggestions. Yeah, thank you. I'm confident that will happen eventually, but it's not as of Tuesday.
Okay. Okay, and can you just say, how much is the cost for that?
Oh, that course, that 11-week course, is $340.
Okay.
And that's 11 weeks. We meet for almost 2 hours a session, and, you know, there's a lot of spiritual counseling in it to teach people how to do this for themselves, you know, how to heal themselves. So it's definitely a value for what I'm offering.
Most definitely, and... Yeah. We talked about this book quite a bit in the last time you were on, so I invite the audience to go listen to the archives to listen to Tom. It was a pretty good show. We had a good time with it. So, I was talking to somebody earlier, and we'll get to your book in just a second because it was fascinating.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed reading it. But she was just wondering if you're going to be taking calls later. Are you open for callers today?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to ask you because I forgot to ask you earlier. So we will be opening the phone lines in a little bit. But first, we're going to be talking about book number three.
Yeah. The Soul's Journey, Volume 1. And it's kind of a long title, but it tells you exactly what it is. The Soul's Journey 1, Astrology, Reincarnation, and Karma with a Medium and Channel.
Okay, try saying that three times real fast.
Yeah, I know, exactly,
no,
right?
It really is all-encompassing, though.
Yeah, it is. In my work as a medium, I've worked with the spirits of deceased people, and they say, you know, this is what I thought was happening during my life, and then this is, after I passed, what I learned was really happening. So that changed how I did astrology, because I'm doing karmic astrology, you know, evolutionary astrology, looking at the soul's journeys of my clients. And so having that perspective really enriched things, and then the channel part of it, as I learned to see the world through my spiritual eyes as well as my human eyes, I started was working with some ascended masters who came in to answer my questions about the soul. So I said, what's really happening here? You know, I said, this is great. We can talk about the soul in astrology, but what is really happening? And I started to get answers. And then I, you know, over the course of 5 years, I got a lot of I think of it as tutoring from a couple of Ascended Masters, and that radically changed how I did this work too. And so I just needed to get it into a concrete form to teach other people how to see astrology this way. And it's a brand new way of looking at evolutionary astrology. It takes what people have already been doing, what Steve Forrest and Jeff Green and others have been doing, one more step, because it takes into account, you know, stuff, actually, like real data about the soul from masters and dead people. So it's pretty exciting.
Okay. Just to clarify, what exactly do you mean by the soul?
Yeah. So that's just the word that I use for the thing that is our portion of divinity. How I see the universe, how I see this business with all of us being here, you know, what are we here for? Why are we here? I see that all of life together is the creator, the creatrix, God, goddess, whomever. And we are portions of that, each of us, including your pets and your plants, everything. We're portions of that energy that is experiencing the perception of separateness. I have this vehicle, I have this body, it's different than yours. My eyes are green, your eyes are blue, whatever, like these differences. You know, I have my opinions, we can argue, you're different, you know, you're over there. And so we're exploring this idea of separateness, but we are all connected. So as I say soul, what I'm really getting at is the thing that is beyond our personality and our body, that is our own divinity.
And so basically, would you say in the human experience, we are attempting to really reconnect, claim, and live through that soul?
Exactly. Live through that soul, like live more consciously as divinity, which is what brings us to our real source of strength. You know, in dualism, in worlds where people seem to be separate from each other, there's always, you know, power always manifests as power over others. So then I think we're really learning about strength and what real power is. And I think that, ideally we're accepting our divinity, which is being love, which is being loving and, you know, connected to everything through acceptance and love and supporting everything in its unfoldment and its growth, however that works. But yeah, I think we're really striving to reconnect, to remember that part of our nature, which is our true nature.
Okay, now we're going to backtrack just a little bit. You mentioned Stephen Forrest and Jeff Green, and I actually really have read and really enjoy Jeff Green. I've read a little bit of Stephen's work. He's awesome.
Yeah.
So, evolutionary astrology, what kind of astrology is that? How is it different from others? Just so people know from what point of view you're coming from.
Yeah, definitely. So evolutionary astrology, the basic idea is that it's a kind of a philosophy of astrology. It's like a paradigm. It's a way of approaching astrology that looks at how people change over time. That's the bottom line. And so it's all about free will, that you have choice and that you're responsible for what happens in your life. But it's a very humane and empowering way of looking at the universe. But how people change over time, whether one life, you know, or many lives. And so it is a reincarnational approach. It is a karmic approach in most instances. So it's, you know, I'm looking at, you know, your life as a chapter in the journey of your soul or the energy being that you are.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the astrology, at least from what I read from Jeff Green, he really focuses on Pluto, Uranus.
Yes.
Those are really strong things that he really focuses on to talk about the soul's journey and what you're about, what you're here to learn.
Yeah, me too. Pluto and the nodes of the moon, the south node and the north node of the moon, are the foundation of pretty much all evolutionary astrology. And different people have different words or different descriptors for what each of those things mean, but those are the focal points. And how I look at it is, the south node of the moon has a lot to do with our conditioning in many lives. And then Pluto, you know, so how we expect the world to be, the south node being what we've already experienced a lot of, the past and the present, and the north node being what we can grow into, what we're challenged to stretch into, which is new territory. And then Pluto being, in my way of looking at it, Pluto is the marker of the soul's journey to empowerment. How am I going to learn how to be strong and then, you know, ultimately remember that we're all part of the same thing and that there is such a thing as soul, and that's what underlies me and everyone. But this journey of empowerment, I'm going to go to Earth and feel strong. How? I look to Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Uranus.
Well, yeah. I think...
You don't emphasize on Uranus, correct?
Well, I don't in terms of karma, but I do certainly, because I'll talk about all those energies and all those archetypes, all the planets. But in terms of karma, I mean, Uranus may or may not be involved in someone's karmic journey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So in your back to your book now.
Yeah.
Unless there's anything else you want to add on Pluto, the north and south node. I think those are really, for me, when I look at astrology, those are things. Number one, I always look at Pluto.
Yeah.
If I meet someone, just to see, okay, what's the lesson? What's this all about?
Yeah.
Because, it really explains where the person's coming from.
Yeah.
And it's extremely, extremely accurate.
Yeah, definitely.
It's fascinating. It's just like, oh, it's so cool. It scares people because you know them so well.
Yeah, I know.
It really is fun, though. We don't mean to scare. Okay.
Yeah.
So what was the purpose of your book? What was it, besides, you know, you have a good, solid foundation, concrete,
yeah,
of what you've learned about the soul's journey, what were, you know, how to reconnect. What is the best way for people to use this book? And
yeah,
do you want to go over what the different chapters are first, or intertwine it?
Yeah, well, let me give you my mission statement, and then I'll give an overview of the
sounds
actual
good
book. So the mission statement is that as I was teaching this approach to my astrology students, I saw them, you know, and I had been practicing it for a few years, and I thought it was great, but to get the reflection from them about how it increased their ability to understand a client or themselves, I got this really, you know, bright reflection of how useful it was. And so I decided to write a book to help people use astrology in this very present tense post, you know, post-Newtonian, post-modern, post-postmodern way of, you know, astrology can't be useful if we don't really serve the humans who are asking us questions. So the real mission statement on the book is lots of other healing modalities have caught up to this quantum age that we are beginning, where we understand everything as energy. But frankly, astrology hasn't. And so the mission statement on the book is, let's get astrology caught up and teach astrologers and students that everything is energy, and to start from there. And then as you learn about the journey of the soul through many lives, you actually can help people in really, really deep ways. Probably part two of the mission statement is, we have never in astrology really grasped the importance of emotional experience. And as I work with somebody who's coming in with a real deep, painful issue, that's a karmic issue. Chances are it's
mm-hmm.
karmic. Like 99% of the time, it's related to what's going on in multiple lives. And for me to just sit there and say, well, this is, you know, let's use an example of a marriage that's going through some difficulty right now. Perhaps in that person's chart, there is an indication that learning fairness and harmony and equality is a major issue for the soul, for that journey. So I can talk to the person about the details of his marriage right now, or I can help him understand what his soul is trying to learn by having a difficult marriage. And there is a vast difference in how that mm-hmm. lands, how those two different approaches, because when you speak to what the soul is doing and what the soul is trying to learn, that person connects with soul and heart. And there's a profound change in how that person hears you and what use that information can come to. You know?
Most definitely.
Yeah, it's details about the current marriage, or, you know, we can talk about those details, but to cut to the core of the issue and to help that person understand the point of the experience and then learn how to make changes at a very, very deep level. Because making changes in a marriage that isn't working from the soul's perspective, you know, using that person's spiritual eyes, you know, seeing what the point of it is, what's the spiritual lesson here, why am I creating this, why am I in this situation, it's a radically different way of living, and I want to inspire people to view that so they can change their lives for the better if they want to.
Right. Or at least give them all the information so they have that option.
Precisely. Precisely. They should have.
So they can. Yeah, because you can't make a really good, solid decision if you don't have all the facts, Jack. So
exactly. And so when we deal with astrology on this personal level or on the personality level or on the day-to-day level, we miss a core part. We don't always address a core part of who we are, which is this energetic being that is behind our personality and our body that I call soul.
Right.
Yeah.
Excellent. It's, you know, you're hitting on a huge part of, I mean, that's what my life coaching is all about, is getting to the core issue of what you're doing here and why you had that experience, because you chose to have that experience. Let's get the experience fully, so number one, you don't have to go through the same crap again.
Right.
One should be enough. And I learned that just because I've learned it several times. They show me different perspective of the same lesson, which was huge. But
So every pattern a person has, you know, the one of the basic baselines of the book is that everything is energy. And you know, the pattern that you're experiencing, whatever pattern it is, whether it's relationships or work or health or whatever it is, those patterns have to do with certain energies. And so the more consciousness you have of what those energies are, you can make proactive choices to change the patterns. Because, like you said, once you understand what it's really about and why you're learning it, then you don't mm-hmm. have to repeat the negative stuff. You can say, you know, I actually give people prescriptions. And people who have assertiveness issues, like maybe they draw aggression to them, maybe they draw other people who are violent or bossy or controlling, those people, like, it's obvious to us they need to learn to stand up for themselves, but I give people day-to-day prescriptions to put in daily use so they can change the energy, their relationship with the energy of assertion, so that they are creating something instead of feeling subject to it. And So that's in the book. That's covered, these prescriptions, and how to turn around an experience of an energy. Because it is just energy. It's there. And if you don't use it, you'll feel used by it. And that's the source of most of why people come into me. They don't realize it that way. And I say, look, you're feeling used by this energy because you're not sure how to use it. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's it really is something that's really coming to the forefront.
Uh-huh.
I'm seeing a lot of people coming out. In fact, I'm having Inslee McLeod on next week, and he also has a book about the soul journey. So he does it from a different perspective, which will be very interesting to talk to him.
Yeah.
But he also speaks about getting to that energy that's causing you to react this way.
Yes.
So you can change the direction. So it's very interesting. There's different ways to get to the core issue, and that's really what this new switch in the Aquarian age really is about the individual within the group.
Definitely. So let me give you an overview then of the book itself.
Okay.
So I open with talking about these different ways of looking at astrology. You know, looking at the different kinds of paradigms we can choose to look at, saying this is all about energy. And then I go in to talk about conditioning and how the effects of our emotional experiences in various lives really matter a lot more than we've ever really had consciousness of. And then I teach a method, and I talk about the journey of the soul. There's a chapter on what's happening while we're alive and then what happens between lives and why we pick the ones we do. And then I outline a method for analyzing charts, which is what I've been using for years and teaching my students that they get so excited about. They don't prep for a client for 4 hours anymore. You know, they can trim it down to a much more reasonable, you know, amount. And it looks at the nodes of the moon and Pluto in a certain order. Mm-hmm. And so I'm, you know, explaining how to basically crack open the karmic message of any chart in a few minutes. And, you know, not to have like a soundbite, like it sounds like an infomercial idea, but it's really what it is. I see where you come from, what you think the world is about. I see what your soul is trying to accomplish and what really hurts along the way. And then I have your whole picture. And then I can work with you in a really, really humane way. So the method is in there. And then I run through 11 client charts, just talking about life issues and how they show up in the chart and how these people were living them, putting the method to work. And then mm-hmm. I do a couple of chapters on celebrity charts. I do 7 living people that you can look up their biographies and see. Most of them you know from the media, and looking at particular ways that they're wired. You know, ways that they're imprinted and the ways that they live and work that are affected by karma, you know, looking in there. For instance, like Oprah Winfrey and Marilyn Manson are two of the examples.
Oh, they're two diverse people.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like a very select group, you know, and these two people made it in. And then I look at death and suicide. Is it felt right to look at that, to close the book with the discussion of why we die when we die? And then the impact of suicide on the soul's journey and how that shows up in other lives and how to understand that choice in terms of the soul's journey and how to deal with that. And that's the book.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. So I know you really channeled and worked on this book pretty quickly, didn't you?
Well, this one took probably, I had the idea for it almost about 2 years ago, but I just didn't have the energetic emotional space to sit down and write it until I moved to Tucson. So it came out in about five and a half months. The whole thing was done. Yeah. The other ones some of them have been a lot quicker. But that was actually, of the 4 books that now I've done, that one was a lot of work because it was tying together what I've learned from other astrologers, A, B, what I learned from deceased people, C, from ascended masters, and then D, right, from my own observations and experience. So it's kind of tying together 4 streams of knowledge, you know, into one text. So it was a lot of work, but I'm really proud of it, and I'm really happy that it's coming out.
And it's wonderful to read. It's very informative, really a great method of doing this. You really explain. I really appreciate you explaining the difference between the age of Pisces and the age of Aquarius. Because
Oh, yeah.
It really, it shows what we're coming into very nicely. Do you want to explain that a little bit now?
Yeah, definitely. I do that in the book because this book is really forward-looking. And the way that I think about astrology is pretty much an Aquarian age way. So I felt like I needed to sit down and say, let me give you the background on where I'm coming from with this. So, you know, this idea of an age, you know, an astrological age, this has to do with where the axis of the Earth is pointed towards over this almost 26,000 year cycle, which is called the precession of the equinoxes. And I'm not going to get technical. I'm not going to, like, you know, talk a lot about that. You can look it up. You can find out a lot. But basically, in those 26,000 years, there's a cycle where that Earth's axis is pointed in each of the 12 zodiac signs in order, but it's reverse actually. So usually it goes Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, and that's the normal natural zodiac. And we're talking this precession that moves backwards. So Aries was for happening for a while, and now Pisces has been happening for a couple thousand years, and we're beginning a transition into Aquarius. Wherever this axis is pointed, colors are experienced on Earth. It's the backdrop, the energetic backdrop to everything we experience and do. So we as a collective get to learn about evolving with this energy. Piscean energy has to do with fitting in and learning how to go with the flow that's happening around us. So in Pisces, there can be a lot of conformity and a lot of groupthink and a lot of, I need to know how to live, so I'm going to look at what the normal people seem to be doing, and then I'm going to do that. And that's a Piscean age kind of way of doing it. When it comes into, in the Piscean age, because you have to have something to flow with, there are people who make decisions high up, and it trickles down to people. In the Aquarian age, it's radically different. Aquarius is the energy not of fitting in, but of breaking away to be free and creating new structures that reflect that freedom and individuality and innovation that you want to bring. So it's kind of like we're going from, where the strategy, the best thing to do socially and culturally is to go with the flow, to you got to figure out who you are, you got to individuate, you got to trust your instincts, you got to trust your vision, trust what you want the world to look like, and then go make it happen and find other people who agree with you. And that's it's a real serious paradigm shift. I think that I try to live and I think as though I'm already in the Aquarian age, and that helps me, come out of a lot of like Piscean age conditioning, and this is what I should be doing to this is what I really need to be doing. And this book is really a reflection of that. We're headed to this radical change. I think that we're in the beginning of the beginning part of the transition, which is going to take a couple hundred years. But there are lots of people who are waking up and saying, I need to individuate. I can't do what other people are doing. So that's the kind of deal on the Pisces to the Aquarian age. We have to come to trust ourselves more, and recover that ability to hold a vision of who we are and what our future looks like and work towards that without worrying about what other people are thinking about it, without fear that we're not going to fit in. It's true. We're not going to fit in if we follow our vision.
Woo-hoo!
So it's adjusting to all that.
Yeah. It's like for Abstract Illusions, my business, the slogan for it is if you've got a passion, make it happen.
Great. Great.
So that very much fits into the Aquarian age coming in. So self-expression is going to be a huge part of that. So,
yeah, everybody's got a secret genius. Everybody's got
most definitely.
Yeah, everybody's got that. So our task is now to learn to trust it. Now, just like in the Piscean age, not everyone adapted. We still have rebels. We have for thousands of years. It's exactly the same in the Aquarian age. Not everybody will adapt. And, it's a lot of individual, and I go into this in the book, how individual journeys, can trump that, can supersede that collective energy, but that is the energy in play for the collective. Yeah.
Now, my question is for you, within this paradigm of the Aquarian age, where is responsibility? Is the responsibility just to hold to our truth and our passion and go forward with that, and the group doesn't have, you don't really have a responsibility to the group?
Well, no, we do. And we do, but there's this, whatever we can offer the group, and this is true today too, but whenever we can offer others, we can only do that if we're square with ourselves. If someone wants to be of service, lots of times that person has to learn how to serve herself first,
Right.
So Aquarian energy is about collectives and groups and mass movements in a way, but the mass is really fit with Pisces, but it is about collective efforts, let's say it that way. But you, Jen, have to know yes. where you stand in order to find the right group to fit into.
Yes.
So your responsibility is to the collective if that's what works to you. That is a very healthy end point to Aquarian journeys, is serving the collective.
Most definitely.
But along the way, you sometimes got to break free from the wrong collective in order to mm-hmm. get clear on your idea and what you want to offer. Because this innovative thing about Aquarius energy requires time alone to feed and develop. There's this idea of the Aquarian archetype covers conformity all the way through separation. You know, so I'm part of this group. I'm bored. You know, and I don't even know if I belong here. That's part of Aquarian energy too, not individuating, all the way to breaking free in order to be original and to be free. And then once you are free, you have space to develop your unique gift. Ultimately, ideally, you go back to the collective and say, hey, look, I just came up with this really new, cool thing that I think might help you. Do you want to know what it is? And some people will say no, and some people will say yes, and they'll launch into the future. You know, so it's an inventive thing, but we often have to spend some time by ourselves. So that's why, you know, a lot of Aquarians, you might know, people with strong Uranian signatures in their charts and lives, sometimes they're loners. Sometimes they don't do the collective thing, but that's part of the process. And I think relative to splitting off from the Piscean age and kind of creating the Aquarian age, I think that a lot of people are going to have to break away from places they have belonged that no longer serve them, be individual, be individualistic, and then come back to find new collectives and serve the collective in new ways. Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry. That
great.
Stupid. Yeah.
I know.
it's at mute. It's that good old Mercury retrograde still being in there.
Yeah.
And it's had fun with me this time. It's been extremely... Yeah. It's a good one. My north node being Leo... is what I was saying, is all about doing what's fun, going out there and showing people to do what they love and know it's okay.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I like my north node. And also my Uranus is retrograde, which makes me a little bit of a rebel, doesn't it?
Yeah, it means that freedom for you is you're going to have to figure out what it means for yourself. Other people's ideas of freedom won't work for you is the bottom line.
Yeah,
so it makes you a little different. So other people can say, just take the day off and don't do it, you know, or whatever when you're really stressed out. But whatever they say, it doesn't work, you know. For you, you have to find your own way.
Yeah. Fine. Well, I'm going to open the phone lines.
Okay.
So if you have any questions about the book or... just about anything you want to talk to Tom, including if you want to talk about your intuitive gifts development, if you have any questions on that, if Tom doesn't mind. The number is 888-815-9756. The phone lines are open. You can call in and ask your question of Tom and his great book about, you know, how astrology can really help guide you in understanding what and who you're all about in this time.
Yeah.
It really is a fun time with all the shifts that are going on. And talking about the Aquarian age, it really is, in a sense, getting rid of that third dimension karma uh-huh. and moving into the fourth and fifth.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of nice to always know what your karma is so you can let it go and move forward. And if you don't, I always say the universe has this wonderful 2x4 and they'll make sure you get off of it.
Yeah. That actually, that 2x4, that piece of wood comes in different sizes too.
Yes, so. It does.
Because when you get used to the 2x4 and you don't do the thing, Maybe it becomes a 4x4, you know? So
yes, that or it's the rug that you're standing on and they pull it. It's just like, okay.
Yeah.
They have many ways of getting you back on track, especially once you start opening. There's really, once you start opening it, you can always have that option to close it, but once you open it, you really don't want to. You know, they really are there to guide you, and I'm always amazed at the clever ways they really inform me if I'm slightly off track. They always have, you know, wonderful ways, like, if I'm talking too much, I'll see a certain animal, like a bobcat, which is like, keep secrets, shut up. It's like, okay. So nature works with you in many ways. And so you've been doing this, you've been working in karmic astrology for how long now?
I've been seeing clients for 6 years.
And you've been, of course, studying this for many lifetimes, I'm sure.
Different ways and different lives. Part of my journey. It looks like we have a couple of callers too, but I'll just finish this thought. A lot of my journey has to do with reconnecting to spirit, whatever that looks like and whatever that means, and bringing through whatever I can into concrete reality to help other people find it. And I feel like, honestly, I feel like I'm finally doing it. So, you know, there's kind of a lot of stuff lining up right now that feels really good for my journey.
Yes, and now we will have Jenny in San Francisco on line one. How are you doing, Jenny?
I am really enjoying the show. I resonate with everything you're saying.
Great.
Excellent.
I'm an Aquarius, and my New Year's resolution was to be my divinity this year, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And
congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
So I really resonate with what you said, but can you, 2-12-48, can you just give me a clue of the fastest, easiest, cleanest way to do that?
Okay, just 1 second. Yeah, I'll pull up your chart quickly, and we'll take a quick...
And I'm going to get your book for sure.
Great. Yeah, you can get that through my website. You can order it now, though it's not going to be out for a couple of weeks, just doing some pre-orders. But
okay.
So let's see. So it's Jenny. What did you say, 2-12-48?
That's right, 10 p.m.
And what time of day were you born?
10
p.m.
10 p.m. And where?
West Virginia.
What city?
West Virginia.
Yeah, what city in West Virginia?
Wheeling.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
So how's the weather in San Francisco right now?
Excuse me?
How is the weather in San Francisco?
It's always foggy in the evening, but we had beautiful days and it got a little windy at sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Beautiful days. Okay.
Okay, Jenny. So what's the question here? Just give me a refresher here.
How can my soul accomplish reaching my divinity? The free way to that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the major things that you have going on is you have Neptune smack on the ascendant, but on the 12th house side. So
right.
So. And that is a statement. Let's see if that's tied in with the karmic story at all.
Yep, I have Neptune rising.
Well, I mean, it's you have Neptune rising, and so that's a very, people would talk about that as a powerful position in the chart. What happens is when this is where the sun comes up over the horizon. So when Neptune was there when you were born, that was showering, you know, the new day with its energy. So you're saturated with Neptune energy. So the quickest, you know, way to do your divinity is to always align with truth. To always thank illusion and deception for what it's trying to offer you, which is another version of Neptune, but coming back to truth, always with truth. And you have, it's in Libra, So there is a there's going to come out in your relationships and how you show up in relationships. So deception and illusion and truth exist simultaneously in the energy of Neptune. So you're carrying that in your body. So always listen to what your body says about what you eat, for example. The people you hang out with, when your body says, these people make me feel sick, then you change your relationships. So that's actually your quickest route, is to main, is to keep, stay connected with Neptune and truth. That's your route.
Okay. And I've isolated for the last 2 years. I just left the world, and I wanted to reinvent myself, and I just started doing art out of the clear blue sky, divine art.
Yes.
That sounds pretty Neptunian as well, yes?
Very, very Neptunian, yeah. You know, this 12th house stuff is finding our connection and then figuring out a way to bring it through. And art is an amazing way. I mean, some people do that through writing words. Some people do that through what we consider creativity. But it's really, you know, being a channel for something is in your highest good. And so for you to do art, you know, you won't be isolated forever. But like you said, you know, stopping and then getting to the place where you can reinvent yourself, that's the process. And you will come out again, but it's you always have to get to know yourself and to know what truth is before you can really bring it out to others. So if you're inspired eventually to share your art, I would encourage you to do that.
I'm setting up a website, yes.
Perfect, because that you're making your experience of spirit concrete, and other people will be affected by that in wonderful ways. So that's so I encourage that.
And it will pay the rent. It will support
me.
It'll hold me up. Yeah.
You're asking me? Well, I don't do predictions like that. I know, though, that if you're running the energy of truth and you're aligned with it, then the universe can't help but support you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I've been guided to be here. And thank you very much. I can't wait.
You're
for your
welcome.
Support.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much for listening.
Namaste.
I'm glad you're enjoying the show.
I am loving the show. Namaste.
Great.
Okay. Namaste. And now we have Christina online too.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Christina.
Hi, Tom. And I'm enjoying the show very much.
Great.
I enjoyed listening to the first caller, and I got confused now because I can't remember what my question was, so I will just share with you my birth date. It's 0429-1959.
Okay.
8:29 p.m.
Okay.
And
the location?
Tempe, Arizona.
Okay. Okay, so so go ahead and ask me a question. You also have Neptune in the 12th.
Right, that's why I was listening to her going, is he reading her or is he reading me?
Yeah.
I was scratching my head going, wow, that's weird.
You're welcome to come up with another question.
I always sabotage, and I was talking actually to Jennifer today about this, and we were talking about Aquarius too, and then we were talking about the Akashic records and stuff like that. What is it in my core trait that goes crazy? Even though I'm a Taurus, I'm supposed to be grounded and fundamentalist. I really am not a Taurus.
Well, I would offer you that yes, the sun represents the inner CEO, right? Ideally, the person who makes decisions. So you are a Taurus. It's just that your south node of the moon is in Aries, and that
I've never heard the Aries one. I'm an Aries.
No, your south node of the moon.
Node. Yeah.
And that has to do with our repository of emotional memories from our other lives. So while you're a Taurus sun right now, you have a lot of Aries fifth house energy with Mercury conjuncted. So there's a lot of frenetic energy in there. So, you know, people who come from with this signature have to learn how to calm down. You know, and have to learn how to come out of creating stressful scenarios. You're going to react to the world around you as though something needs to be done or something is wrong and needs to be fled. But that's not doesn't have to be happening right now. So the strategy is to learn how to relax and learn how to see what's happening as what's happening, but not as a threat to you. Does this make sense to you, Christina?
Well, it does, but and I've already been in that process for a couple of years. Now I'm wondering. Okay, it's very. I'm so confused right now.
Okay.
So, what is my goal? Like, I don't know if you can answer this or not through a chart. Am I on the right path right now?
Well, let me tell you where your Pluto is, which is this soul's journey. A lot about the soul's journey. It's in Virgo in the ninth house, and so your soul is here to learn a lot about choosing the right ways to live. Like the ninth house is where belief and philosophy and religion come in, and Virgo is about choosing. So for you, a giant part of your mission, if we can say it that way, not to make it too dramatic, but on this deep level, it actually is pretty dramatic for each of us.
Sure.
Part of your mission is in choosing the right philosophy to live by, or the right belief system, the right overarching idea of why you should do things. And so you're going to have some of your lives, other past lives, where you're doing what other people think, and you don't feel strong, you don't feel like you're accomplishing anything. So for now, for you, now to pick a belief system and go with it is very healing for you. So I don't know if you're on the right path, but you can know from what I said if that part of your mission is being met.
It actually answers a long trail of things. My favorite subjects in college.
Yeah, exactly.
The world religion. Ask me what church I haven't been to.
Right.
And what faith and all that, even in childhood.
Right.
So, choosing the right, well, it's kind of simple. My faith in religion is truth. So
great.
Which was what you were reading to her. Once you know the truth, everything works.
Right.
And that's always been true to me.
Right. But, you know, for context, you're exploring religions earlier in your life, but you have lives of feeling really burned by believing in a certain religion or in refusing to
believe. Murdered by a priest.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So a lot of the healing is in understanding that truth. So you have Neptune in the 12th, Pluto in the 9th. You know, you have Jupiter in the first house, which you're carrying that energy of belief as well. You know, so there's a lot of factors in here that point to picking something and going with it. But just so you know, I'll leave you with this. You can always change what it is you adopt as a belief system. Now, it doesn't sound like where you are, you will, because you kind of arrived at a really beautiful place. But just for your reference, no belief system is better than any other. You know, no religion, no philosophy, no ideal. And we can always choose it. But sometimes people with this signature will be afraid to choose one just in case it's the wrong one. And, you know, it's all good when you connect with what's true. So that's great. That's great.
Yeah, my religion's truth, and
right.
What is truth except that it vibrates with me. So
right.
And sometimes it gets very validated. Thank you
Good
so
work.
Much. What is your website?
Yeah, my website is tdjacobs.com. So that's T like Tom, D like David, JACOBS.com.
Tdjacobs. Wow, that's a famous name. There's another one out there. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Another what?
Another T.D. Jacobs.
No, I thought I was...
But yours doesn't have the S at the end. It's just Jacob.
No, it does have an S. It is at the end. TDJacobs.com.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
And
thanks.
When we pre-order your book, should we just email you there, or do you have a pre-order... form already
there,
set up.
On my store page, there are PayPal buttons. There's also a little picture of the cover and a blurb on it and PayPal buttons. And if you don't use PayPal, email me for the address, and I'll send you an address, and you can send a check. But, yeah, it's up on the site, on the store page.
I don't want to, I know there's people holding to talk to you. Your classes in Tucson, will that be on your website, too?
Yeah, everything that's happening is in my website calendar, yes.
Okay. All right. Jennifer, thank you so much for having such a great guest on your show tonight.
Oh, thank you for listening.
All right.
And calling
Love
in.
Love you both. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. We actually just have a couple more minutes left, and we need to wrap things up. So basically, Christina did a really nice job of saying it, introducing everything's available on your website. Here's your website. So is there anything else you want to sum up, you know, say at the last couple minutes of the show about your book or anything else you have upcoming?
Well, you know, let's see, is there anything specific? Well, let me also mention the other book that you can pre-order is about Saturn Returns, which for those not well-versed in astrology, that's meaningless. But for those, you know, who know about astrology, it's about the orbit of Saturn is about 29 and a half years. And so when we're at that age, and then when we're double that age and triple that age, we have what's called a Saturn return, and we're challenged to alter our relationship with Saturn. So it's kind of a very complex topic, but I wrote kind of a manageable, digestible book on that. And so that's the fourth book that's available, or that will be available but can be pre-ordered at my site. And I think the last thing to tell you is just to kind of encourage people who are, you know, maybe into astrology but haven't really found it as meaningful as they want it to be. I, in my heart of hearts, and in the heart that is my gut, like all over my being, I just get that we need to make astrology meaningful for how we actually live. And that's where my focus is right now. So I just want to encourage people who are working on astrology and want to tie in other metaphysical things, you know, like I'm doing mediumship and channeling and the soul's journey, to allow their thinking about astrology to expand. And there's a lot of possibility for tying together different modalities with astrology and understanding the mm-hmm. effects of energy. You know, I'm also working on energy and health, how karma manifest as physical health issues. So
right.
I just encourage people to open their minds and get creative and really help me and help others bring astrology up to the quantum age and let it be as valuable as you know in your gut and your heart it can be. So that's probably what I'd leave you with. Yeah.
And that is an awesome, awesome way to leave it. And I do recommend you contact Tom even for a one-on-one if you can't be in his class. He really does have a lot of great information for you to help you, because there is a lot of shifting energies going on, and to know your chart, it really helps kind of make it a little bit easier so you can rise above the issues and the energy to be truly in your heart and hold that energy. So I thank you, Tom. You are always welcome on this show. Whenever you want to come on, please let me know. Thank you. This is Jennifer Hellman saying thank you very much for listening. And with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and information. Till next time, many blessings and good night.